Hi, I'm Josh McDowell. Welcome to the audio version of my book, The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers. It's pretty rare these days to find someone who has never heard of The Da Vinci Code. Its success has been nothing short of phenomenal, and its content nothing short of controversial. Just listen to what BookReporter.com said about it.
A stunning new thriller that will provoke much debate. Dan Brown's extensive research on secret societies and symbology adds intellectual depth to this page-turning thriller. His surprising revelations on Da Vinci's penchant for hiding codes in his paintings will lead the reader to search out renowned artistic icons as the Mona Lisa, the Madonna of the Rocks, and the Last Supper. The Last Supper holds the most astonishing coded secrets of all, and after reading the Da Vinci Code, you will never see this famous painting in quite the same way again.
If these extensively researched secrets are true, then there's a lot more at stake here than just the way we look at art. The very core of the Christian faith would prove to be a lie. But what if these surprising revelations turn out to be false? The implications would be breathtaking. Yet, can we really know what that truth is? And if we can, what difference will it make in our lives? These are the questions that motivate the characters in our story. Of course, like the characters in Dan Brown's book, the characters in this story, Chris, Matt, and Andrea, are fictitious. But what they talk about is real. The issues they discuss are as relevant to us as they are to them. And you know, every fact has been painstakingly researched. But just don't take my word for it. Search out the truth on your own. Now, obviously, since this is an audio version of my book, it's impossible to footnote the points that I've made. So let me encourage you to join the ranks of Robert Langdon and Sophia Naval and go on your own quest for answers. Now, let's join Chris, Matt, and Andrea at their favorite hangout, The Daily Grind, as they try to decipher the Da Vinci Code.
For 1,000 years, Langdon continued, legends of this secret have been passed on. The entire collection of documents, its power, and the secret it reveals have become known by a single name, Sangreal. Hundreds of books have been written about it, and few mysteries have caused as much interest among historians as the Sangreal. The Da Vinci Code, page 160.
What do you think so far?
Well, you're right. It's hard to put down.
Oh, and there's a lot more detail on this conspiracy stuff. And it's amazing to see this. Look, fact, the Priory of Sion, a European secret society founded in 1099, is a real organization. In 1975, Paris's Bibliothèque Nationale discovered parchments known as Les Dossiers Secrets, identifying numerous members of the Priory of Sion, including Sir Isaac Newton, Botticelli, Victor Hugo, and Leonardo da Vinci. The Vatican Prelature, known as Opus Dei, is a deeply devout Catholic sect that has been the topic of recent controversy due to reports of brainwashing, coercion, and a dangerous practice known as corporal mortification. Opus Dei has just completed construction of a $47 million national headquarters at 243 Lexington Avenue in New York City. All descriptions of artwork, architecture, documents, and secret rituals in this novel are accurate.
Yeah. And since our conversation in the car, I've done a little digging.
No, what did you find out?
Well, how about I start with Opus Dei? It's a real organization within the Catholic Church.
And is all that stuff true about its headquarters?
Uh-huh. And people have accused the group of being, heavy-handed in their practices. Their critics say they brainwash and coerce and so on, while others say that's not true. As far as I can tell, it's a very conservative group that attracts highly devoted people.
I'd say that crazy monk is a highly devoted person.
I think that character is the result of poetic license.
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, every thriller needs a villain. An albino monk from a shadowy organization is as good as any. But it turns out, though, the Da Vinci Code refers to him repeatedly as a monk. There are no monks in Opus Dei.
Really? Why would he do that? The author, I mean.
Who knows? But in fact, Opus Dei's membership is almost all lay people. Less than 3% are priests.
But it's a pretty scary group, right?
I don't know. Passionate, definitely. I'd say if you're afraid of the Roman Catholic Church, you'd be very afraid of Opus Dei. But otherwise, no. I don't think it's scary, except in the novel.
Okay, what about the Priory of Sion? The book says some French king named Godefroid or something or other started the Priory of Sion in 1099, right after he conquered Jerusalem. I'm a lot further along in the book than Andrea is.
Until last night, maybe. But I've read that far now, too. King Godefroy was afraid the secret of the Holy Grail would be lost forever when he died, so that's why he started the Priory, to protect the secret and to pass it on from generation to generation. And part of that had to do with finding and protecting the documents. What were they called?
Oh, yeah, the Sangreal documents.
Yeah, that's them. And it's so fascinating that the Priory still exists today.
Yeah, a little further into the book, it talks about the proof of the Priory's existence being discovered in Paris's Bibliothèque Nationale, in papers that came to be called Les Dossiers Secrets.
No kidding. That's fascinating.
Well, that's where things started to get a little interesting.
What do you mean?
Well, it looks like those documents really do exist, but they've been proven to be a fraud.
What?
Yeah. A historian named Paul Meyer says Les Dossiers Secrets were planted in the Bibliothèque Nationale by Pierre Plantard.
Huh.
He says one of Plantard's co-conspirators admitted to helping him fabricate the documents, including the genealogical tables and lists of the Priory's grandmasters, Newton, Botticelli, Leonardo, and so on.
You are kidding.
Now, I'm just telling you what I read. And it's not just one person saying this either. It turns out that Plantard's hoax was exposed back in the 90s in a series of French books and a BBC documentary. A New York Times reviewer revealed Plantard to be an anti-Semite with a criminal record for fraud, while the real Priory of Sion is a little splinter social group founded just half a century ago.
Are you sure? I mean, the book says it's a real organization right there on page one.
Well, it is. It's just that instead of being founded in 1099, like in the book, the only documents that say it existed before 1956, when this guy Plantard registered it with the French government, have been exposed as hoaxes.
But it's a novel, right? So he takes a few liberties to make a good story. That doesn't mean the whole thing's wrong.
Yeah. I'm going to get a refill. Anyone else?
No, thanks.
Yeah, I'll take one, thanks.
So the facts about Opus Dei and the Priory of Sion aren't as accurate as author Dan Brown had reported. But, as Matt stated, it's a novel. And just because liberties are taken with some facts for the sake of the story, doesn't mean the whole book is wrong. Or does it? In our next episode, we'll take a look at what the Da Vinci Code says about the Knights Templar. What really was the source of their great wealth? And were the knights exterminated because they possessed a secret that could destroy the church? Join us as we continue our search for the truth in the next episode of The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers. Until then, this is Josh McDowell.
The Da Vinci Code, A Quest for Answers, is produced by Campus Crusade for Christ.